Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. This is Khadija 7, Sister 7. I'm coming together with you on another Wednesday. Welcome to a Wonderful Approach Radio. I am so excited to be coming to you. Like I said, every Wednesday is a blessing. Every day is. But especially Wednesdays. Wednesdays is when I do that focus on self, focus on spirit, focus on my relationship with God, with ancestors, with those people that I study with. You know, it's just a high spiritual day for me. This must be what Sundays used to be like for our ancestors when they would spend all day in church together. Fellowshipping, getting the good word, doing all this. I can imagine this is what Sunday afternoons were like, you know. So mine has a little bit more work involved with it, but yet and still a lot of good energy flowing. I got a chance to speak with a number of people today, and it was all good interaction. You know, the energy was really high. In the middle of a chaotic political environment, in the middle of a chaotic weather environment, we have a tornado, Dorian, coming this way. Trouble comes this way. So we have this hurricane that we're going to really hope that it just kind of loses its speed and relaxes a little bit and leaves the good folk in Puerto Rico alone. In the middle of all of the chaos of life, because there's plenty of chaos going around in our lives individually and collectively, it's nice to be sitting what felt like today kind of like the eye of the storm, with all of it going on around you, but still finding a way to have peace in the middle of it. And that was my day today. For maybe about 2 weeks, my determination to have a good day has gotten me to this point where I'm having, you know, these good days, period. They are, you know, when you are determined to have a good day, it's wonderful. And I have a show. We have a guest host. Yay! We have all this good, fun stuff coming up. But I just have to tell everybody this, just briefly, bear with me. I end my day with prayer. My day, you know, the majority of my prayers I get in out of all the praying that I do, I would say my prayers are heavier in the evening. But what I've been doing lately in the morning is listening to either sometimes gospel music. They have a number of prayers that you audiobooks that you can listen to. So in the morning, I have been just listening to different types of prayers. There are a number of om chants you can listen to, a number of all kinds of recitings and everything else. So I've been intentionally spending my morning listening to God's word. And then in the evening, that's when I'm putting my word into this universe, because that's just my time of day. But it made such a difference. Oh my goodness, it made such a difference. And I've been doing this loud enough for my children's ear, the one that I have at home. And so he's been getting a dose of prayer, intentional prayer in the morning, not just in the evenings, not primarily in the evenings, but really being intentional about having that positive vibration, because prayer and words and song, that's vibrational. So I've had the house vibrating on this high energy level, and it makes a difference. So when people say prayer changes things, that is so much the truth. And it when that energy is allowed to flow, and especially in the beginning parts of the day, it is magical. So I just had to share that. Somebody need to hear it. Last week's show, we got together, had a great time. you know, each week, you know, we have a wonderful array of people that come and contribute to the program, and I am ever so thankful. But maybe a week or two ago, I announced that we're going to be having a rotating co-host. I love it. I love it. You never know who is going to be co-hosting with me or what the topic's going to be. And it just makes for different energies to come in. We get the benefits of other people. And it really, it's like a co-op for me. You know, let's get some of the people that we build into, that we build with right here, close to us, people that we that know us, to start working on that. So I'm super excited. Last week we spoke about building your spiritual foundation, ever so important. That show was so special to me because Spirit was constantly talking, and talking about not being afraid to reinforce your foundation, not being afraid to reevaluate if your foundation need some better material. You know, we were talking about building with old material, asbestos, lead paint, and mold, and all those things that we now know are dangerous for us, and they don't do well for us. They don't have our best intentions at heart. So it was wonderful, you know, just getting that permission to redo your spiritual foundation as you get more information. I don't know why, but sometimes we do act like, you know what I mean, seem like we need permission. Sometimes when things are in place for so long, tradition, we don't think, you know, sometimes we may feel a little guilty about making changes to suit our current needs, but we can't feel like that. You know, back in the day, you know, we do everything with our phones now. I do a lot of late night studying stuff. I may take a picture of something, the phone's portable, I got it with me. I'll look online at this passage. I'll look at the old version. I look at the new versions. I look and see what the changes are. You know, just comparing, you know, some of the wording that they're changing and some, you know, some of the initiatives that are being pushed. But, you know, back in the day, they would never think to use technology and God. They would never do that. But now that it stores, you know, so many of my favorite prayers. Or if I'm thinking about something real quick, I'll take a picture or I'll you know, write down a little note inside the phone, and then I'll go back and look at that later. So, you know, like I said, our ancestors using technology was a no-no. Even some old heads nowadays would say, oh, you can't do that. You absolutely can do that, okay? That's part of your spiritual foundation. I would much rather you have a prayer online in your phone. Most people carry their phones even to the bathroom. I'd rather you carry this prayer around in your phone than for it to be sitting in a book on a bookshelf that you never read. I read my books, but some people have all these great books, never touch them. So, you know, this is part of just understanding your own spiritual foundation and not being afraid to make the adjustments that you need so that it fits you. So it was a wonderful show, a wonderful show. We had some great callers, and so I loved it. We have our co-host starting up. I'm so excited about this idea. And I was like, okay, in order to start this up properly, we have to start with our original. We have to start back with Mama Khadija. We have to find out what she's doing, how she's doing, and have her, you know, kind of give us our segue into this new idea. Okay. So I'm going to see if I can grab Mama Khadija, and then I'm going to introduce this new topic. Missy, greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, Seven. Greetings, family. I am here.
All right.
I'm blessed, and I'm so grateful to be back on the air as a co-host.
Yay.
Even though I know I can't messed up. I can't be consistent, but whenever you need me, I'm going to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. How wonderful is that? Now, I don't know how many people can actually go back to their people and say, hey, can you just jump in here? Can you just jump in here on the fly and do this and do that? That's some good energy. You know what I'm saying? You can tell all the love that she got and all the love that we received too. So, yay, Mama Khadija. So glad to see you back with us. We have a wonderful show. And I always love to tell you how these shows come about because they're always mind-blowing, shocking, and interesting to me. But I was having a conversation with Brother I early this morning, and he said we have to get the Rites of Passage programs back. And he said a whole bunch of other words after that. And I was like, oh, okay. All right, sounds good. 1 hour later, Mama Khadija said, I'm like, okay, yeah, all right. I hear you, Brother I. Great, wonderful. 1 hour later, Mama Khadija says the same thing. I said, hold up, what did you just say? Rites of Passage program. I was like, that's the second time in the hour I've heard this. Okay. All right. Now I'm listening. I was listening before, but now I'm registering what is going on with this Rites of Passage energy. And it's not something that I spent a whole lot of time thinking about. But as me and Mama Khadija started to build like we do all the time when we're talking about these hot topics and whenever we're working on our Wednesday stuff together and we're building, and I'm like, man, I said, well, what's the show about? She's like, I think this is the show. So I'm going to have Mama Khadija talk, but she's going to introduce and let us know a lot more about Rites of Passage. And I'm going to go ahead and let you have that, Mama Khadija. You're going to get us started because you've done extensive study on rites of passages and rituals. And so you are the expert on this particular topic. So we're looking forward to hearing this.
All right. I thank you so much. And I just want to remind the family to pray for our brothers and sisters in the path of Hurricane Dorian. Thank God it has passed over Puerto Rico with little damage. So at least they have been spared this one. But the people in the British and the United States Virgin Islands got hit pretty, pretty badly. And now the state of Florida has declared Florida in a state of emergency. So it's going to hit Florida, probably, maybe, we don't know, and move on up the coast, Georgia and South Carolina. So we have to stay prayerful about this weather. I know that Other Eagle Ministries and A Wonderful Approach have family members throughout the Caribbean and from South Florida all the way up to, you know, New Hampshire. We've got family. So let's stay prayerful and remember our family in those areas that might be hit the hardest. Now, the Rites of Passage
Absolutely.
Is one of my favorite subjects. I had started a formal ritual study. I've been doing rituals most of my adult life, but a formal ritual study, went to the university, had all kinds of books, interviewed and talked with all kinds of ritualists. And out of that, Mother Eagle, my spirit guide, suggested that we do a Rites of Passage program. So that's what we did. But, you know, a lot of people say, well, what is the Rites of Passage? And basically the Rites of Passage is a celebratory event that marks the completion of one phase in your life, moving into another. During a rites of passage, we acknowledge and celebrate like a signpost. The rite of passage is a signpost for inevitable change. Change is coming.
Mm-hmm.
The rite of passage is also, I describe it as a gateway that marks passage from one life cycle to another, beginning at birth and ending, of course, at the time of our passage into the ancestral realm. Now, in between that birth and moving into the ancestral realm, there are a lot of other life cycles that really should be celebrated and should be acknowledged. And when you go through a rites of passage, you're offered support, guidance, nurture, acceptance, and strangely enough, permission. And you'd be surprised, or maybe not, by how many people actually need permission to move on. Yeah, I need permission to move on to where I'm supposed to be going now. I need guidance. A lot of people say, okay, yeah, I know I need guidance. I need support. I need the nurture, whatever. But for many of us, we also need permission. And you opened up the show talking about permission. I thought that was
mm-hmm.
right on time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who needs the rite of passage? It doesn't matter what you call it. It's that moving from one phase of life, that one cycle into another. Who needs the rite of passage? We all do.
Yeah.
And we are all going through a rite of passage, whether we have acknowledged it and kind of set it out front there for everybody to see or whatever. There are many rites of passages, like I said, between that birth rite to the death rite. So knowing that we all need and all experience our own rites of passage in our own way, you know, we have very little control over the first one and the last one, when we come in and when
okay.
we leave. But like there are many that we do have control over, and we need to recognize and celebrate these times in our life. Now, in metaphysics, we're taught that there are, and in some spiritual realms, we're taught that our life cycles are 7-year cycles. 7-year life cycles, okay? Sometime between 5 and 7, that's when we start school. That's kind of old school, because now kids are going to school at 3 years old. But between 5 and 7, you know, like our second major life cycle. And then, of course, we have puberty and adolescence. That's a biggie. Then we might have high school and college going into adulthood. But then there's so many other cycles after that period that just completely go neglected. We don't celebrate our accomplishments. We don't acknowledge our accomplishments. At that point, many of us go into, what is it, auto run or whatever. We're on automatic. We just go to work, come home, or whatever. And there are so many positive cycles and kinds of rites of passages, mostly practiced in religious circles and spiritual communities around the world. Now, the first one that comes to mind, I was very impressed when I lived in Miami. The Hispanics in that area have major Sweet 16 parties for their daughters.
Major.
They might spend thousands of dollars on a dress.
Yes.
I mean, it looks like a wedding dress. All kinds of decorations,
mm-hmm.
food, live entertainment. They are celebrating the coming of this young woman. She's coming out as a woman. And in watching television, I never witnessed this, but I know the gypsies have a similar coming out for their girl, you know, where they might spend $12,000 on a party to celebrate this girl going into womanhood. You have the bas mitzvahs and the bar mitzvahs. You have, you know, even graduations of sorts are rites of passage.
Yes.
For babies, you have naming ceremonies. There are a lot of spiritual traditions where things are done to the baby. The baby's given a spiritual name. The baby's given a legal name. The baby's head might be shaved or whatever. But there's a whole ritual and ceremony around receiving this new little spirit into the family and into the community. Then you have your spiritual initiates. They are rites of passage. Your spiritual initiations, a lot of times there are restrictions that are, first of all, there's preparation going into it. There's preparation. Then there might be restrictions. There may be things that are taken away that you can't do for a year, extra things that you have to do, you know. So that spiritual initiations are also a rites of passage. Then I know the sororities and the fraternities, they have an initiation of sorts into the organization. There are things that you have to do to prepare to come in. There are things that you have to learn. There are things that you used to do that you can't do. And there are things that you never did that you have to start doing. So that in and of itself is a right to. And then in many spiritual and religious communities, you have baptism and confirmation, rites of passage. So those are just some of the positive ones right off the top of my head that are rites of passages that we go through in our life. But if you notice, very few of them dealt with that time period after, say, college age, after 25 up until that moving into the ancestral realm. We're going to get to that. Now, there's also some negative rites of passages. Now, what I have found out is that if we don't acknowledge and celebrate the good things, especially our young people, will come up with their own little rites of passage that may not be that positive, that
yes,
may be
will.
Very negative. Because if you look at the processes, they're basically the same thing, just split. Instead of positive, it's just negative. But there's still a preparation period. There's still things that you used to do that you can't do any longer, and things that you didn't do before that you have to start doing. And the first thing that comes to mind is these gangs. When you get jumped in, there are things that you have to do that you never did before. There are things that you can't do that you used to do before. There's a whole acceptance and given permission, except not to the good, but to the negative. Okay? So we want to discourage that. In some inner city, among some inner city youth, their rites of passage may be it never occur. And more than
say that again, Mom Khadija. Say it again.
Among inner city youth, their rites of passage may be getting their first gun.
Right.
Or engaging in some type of criminal activity, you know, doing their first stick up or breaking into a house or something of that sort. I know for a lot of girls who are not celebrated, who have not gone through many rites of passages, becoming pregnant. They're leaving that old life behind. They're searching for that nurture, that acceptance, that permission, someone to love, so they get pregnant. And it moves them right out of their life as a young girl or young woman, right in smack dab into the middle of motherhood and having that kind of responsibility without the nurture, without the support, without the guidance, without the direction, without the preparation.
That's part of the problem with which you know, when you're talking about the other type of rites of passages, that's the problem. You're not supported.
Mm-hmm.
You're not
mm-hmm.
educated. You know, when they jump you into the gang, you're like, okay, I'm getting jumped into the gang. But you don't really know what the gang entails. You don't know what you're going to have to do later to continue to prove that you belong to this gang. And so you don't have any additional training going forward. See, rites of passages that are good, that have been established, that are going to be productive, that are going to let you go from here to there, you'll see the support. You will be ready
mm-hmm.
for these as they come because you've been supported in this. These other, there's no support. There's no support. You know, and I know I don't mean to interrupt you, but I, the support, there's no support. You know, one thing that I know you're about to mention is, unfortunately, this epidemic of jail time. You know, unfortunately, I work with some knuckleheads, and when I see and hear of these young people, you know, 16, 17, going to jail, real jail, big boy jail, and their casual attitude towards it, you know, my heart's broken. I'm depressed. Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? And their casual attitude towards it, because to them, in their community, it's been accepted that this is part of the rites of passage. This is part of their rites of passage. This is part of them being acknowledged as men. Yeah, we messed up like a man. And I'm like, yeah, that's not good, though. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, there's no support. You don't know what you're getting into on the other side. And so that's why these things, we have to work on building these positive rites of passage programs up so we can try to steal and take away from these other rites of passages that you're not supported in. They don't give you no information
uh-huh.
on. I'm sorry, Mama Khadijah, but, you know, it's just that support piece. That lets you know what you're doing or what you're not doing.
Exactly.
And how what you're doing or what you're not doing, how you're being supported or how you just kind of left out in left field, you know?
That's right. That's right. Well, that's exactly where I was going into jail.
I know.
And
yeah,
there's usually not a celebration for going into the jail, but coming out is a big party.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The party is not about celebrating that this person went into jail and was rehabilitated, learned
the
way. None of that.
Right.
The celebration
right.
is that he went in, maybe a boy, or went in even as a young man, and he came out a bad, you know what.
Mm-hmm.
He endured it.
Yeah.
He knows all the trade or whatever. The celebration
yeah.
is that he came out and now he knows more than he knew when he went in. What he knows
yes.
wasn't not necessarily the good stuff. Quite often, there will be parties in some place when a person gets out of jail.
Mom, can you use your hand?
It really is.
Okay, you're breaking up. You got to stay in one place.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I am, but you know my reception is not good here. So, yeah, the celebration is not geared toward learning the good things and rehabilitation. So yeah, we have to steer clear of all of the negative rites of passages. And like you said, we have to steal our people back, steal back our
That's
youth,
right.
especially. Now,
and it
the
seems,
question I have
it
is,
seems like it is the youth. You know what I'm saying? It's like the youth are, they're, it's like they're looking for something, they're looking to be acknowledged. You know what I'm saying? They're like, acknowledge me. What does it take to be acknowledged? You know? And if we don't have any good incentives in place, they'll find a way for you. You're going to recognize me. You're going to see me. So we have to find, like you said, some positive incentives for them to get recognition without going to those other extremes.
Now, I want to ask the family, are you ready for your rites of passage? That's a very, very simple question. Are you ready? Now, the rites of passage, the whole idea came about this morning for what your spirit is calling for, rites of passage. Are you ready? Have you acknowledged your accomplishments and celebrated yourself in the past 7 years, in your past, in your cycle that you have just completed? Was that celebrated? Was that acknowledged? You know, do you feel supported through that? Were you given instructions? Were you given direction? If not, it's time to have to double back a little and get that rites of passage. If you're not where you were 7 years ago, then it's time for a rites of passage.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, one of the steps to going through any rites of passage is having two acknowledgments: your strengths and your challenges.
Mm-hmm. Now that's
what
the
are
problem.
Your strengths and what are your
that
challenges?
That is the problem.
That's a big. That's
you
big.
Say it so
Get
easy,
it.
Mama Khadijah. Oh, it's simple. You need a, that ain't simple. And let me tell you why. It's not simple because very few people. I do this every year. Okay, every first of November, I stand to be judged. Okay, and I have to go through challenges and prove this and prove that. And every single November, at least once a year, I stand and I allow myself to be judged. And sometimes the answer is good job, you may proceed. Sometimes the answer is, well, we got to work on some things. And I get a list of things to work on. But, you know, because so many of us live and work in negative environments, the idea of judgment or ridicule or rejection even will make some people say, no, I can't do that, or no, I'm not ready, because it's easier to sit back here in the comfort spot than to stand up and say, I offer myself up to inspection. I want to proceed. See, I'm telling you, I do this every November, so I know that it's difficult. Me, Khadijah 7, stand here and offer myself to be judged. And it is not easy, but I know the answer I get is going to help me to proceed. It's going to let me know if I can proceed. You won't go across the line if you have not proceeded, okay? It's going to let you know, this is what you got to work on. You know, you want the big piece of chicken, this is what it's going to take. You know, you want to see, you tired of sitting at the kiddie table? Well, you got to put this work in if you don't want to sit at the kiddie table no more. And, you know, we, every family, you know, even sitting at the table for Thanksgiving, we have a kiddie table for Thanksgiving, okay? I remember growing up sitting on a piano bench. You know, you didn't get a full chair. You had to share that piano bench with somebody and had to sit on the card table or whatever. Even if there were seats at the big table, because you were not an adult, And I will never forget when I got invited up to the big table. You would have thought I had won $1 million, didn't even know what $1 million was, you know. And that was a tradition, you know what I'm saying? When you come of age, you do get to sit at the big table, you know. You do get to join in and have an opinion. I'll never forget when Solomon started speaking at the table and started, you know, we'll have a family discussion, and forever he wouldn't say anything because he, you know, didn't feel comfortable, wasn't prepared, whatever. But when he started actually speaking at the and sharing his own ideas and thoughts and opinions, that's a coming of age, you know, in our little house, because that means you've earned the right, the opportunity to even be part of the adult conversation, because everybody else, look, go sit down now, grown folks talking. So it's not easy to stand there and say, you know, I'm offering myself up for this. I offer, but when you've been supported, when you've been trained, when you know you've done your best to prepare for this, then you can do so, even if it's a little unnerving. It's like, it's unnerving, it's uncomfortable, but I'm going to do this. You can do it. But it is, it's not easy. But what it does do, it helps you to move forward confidently without that okay. If you skip it, and some of us do, I mean, some of us work hard to skip it, you are lacking a confidence. You are lacking support from the people. You know, no one has stamped you and said, hey, you can go forward. So, you know, even though it's unnerving, I encourage you to do it. Because for me, I'd rather know. Now, I'm confrontational. I don't mind jumping up in there. But, you know, for me, I'd rather know if I was on the right track or not. This is a community conversation. Rites of passage is a community type of thing. So do not hesitate to jump in there. Share one of your either formal rites of passage or informal rites of passage. Whatever you want to do. You know, this is a community radio. This is all of us coming together and sharing. And this is one of those topics we need to talk about, family, so that we can begin to support each other. Absolutely. Okay, I got a call that would like to speak, Mama Khadijah. Are you ready?
Oh, what? Yeah.
This is my sister, Omi Shane. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. Welcome, sis. Welcome, Mother Khadijah. Hi. You know, first of all, I like greetings. First of all, I like to send a prayer out to, as Mother Khadijah and Seven mentioned, to all of us that are in this path for Hurricane mm-hmm. Dorian. And I pray mm-hmm. that everybody is safe, their family is safe, their homes and property is safe, and that when we speak again, that everybody will be well and we're ready to move on to the next day and next stages that's going through our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, getting down to business. Rites of passage. Hey, sis, didn't we make it?
Yes.
Okay. Rites of passage for me was definitely an eye-opener. As most of y'all know, getting into the Yoruba religion and, you know, coming out of Christianity. Well, I'm not out of Christianity. It's just a different door open. And that was quite an eye-opener. As to being aware of myself and what my goals are, what my goals were in life, to compare to what manifested in myself. Mm-hmm. So And then every year since then, going to Sapelo Island or wherever we have any kind of meetings down here in Melbourne with Oni, it's always been a learning experience. And that's what all of this is learning, whether, like Seven said, from a book or from music or talking to our elders. It's always a learning experience, and that was definitely, rites of passage was definitely a learning experience, I think, for all of us that were there for that for that celebration, that ceremony. We all have crossroads that we go through, you know.
Yes.
You stop at the corner and you say, well, which way do I want to go? And sometimes you make a conscious decision, and then sometimes it's like you don't know. Your feet just start moving, and you say, oh, I guess I'm going this way. And you don't know why at the time. Your spirit has led you down this road, but as you go, you see things that are happening, and you say, "Oh, you know, this is why." And it's opening your eyes, your minds, and your ears, so you can be aware of what's going on around you and see and comprehend, and that's what. The rites of passage do to you, like Seven said, every year you take stock in yourself, you know, just like on your birthday, every year you take stock in yourself, you know, you thank God and everybody for letting you be blessed to see another year. And, well, you know, the next year, I like to, you know, move forward a little bit more, you know, a little bit more door opens, a little bit more awareness that goes on in your life. And I know those who know me knows that I've grown up. I'm in my 60s, people, but I've grown up to appreciate that and to realize what's going on and to love myself as well as being able to love and talk to other people, because I was like a hermit. Mm-hmm. You know, I had family, I had a husband, I had children, but basically I was still like a hermit. And and now I, you know, I'm outspoken, but still reserved outspoken. But, you know, I'm doing more, I'm saying more, I'm understanding more. And that's what I like about myself, what I love about myself now, that I can do these things and move on and understand, you know. My little thing is when I go to the Walmart, and I thank my parking angels for finding me a parking space where I don't have to walk from the back of the parking lot all the way up to the front of Walmart. You know, so there's the little things that you become aware of. The big things, you know, you pray about the big things, and when they happen, they happen. But, you know, the little things that take you by surprise, and I'm blessed. I am just totally blessed, and I thank all of my teachers, my godmother, Ianifo Shumantefe, Mother Khadija Seven, Sister Bonita, everybody that's helped, my mom and Ogunleti and Oni, all of my people that helped me grow and be aware of life. So, thank you.
You are more than
that's
welcome.
That's the most I talked to you. That's the most I said in a long time, huh?
No, I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Are you breaking up on
Mama? Yes, he is breaking
up. Am I breaking up now?
Mama Khadija. No, no, you're a little better now. You have to spend five minutes, talking about that first rites of passage program. That first rites of passage program created relationships that are still in place. That first rites of passage program helped to plant seeds. It helped to weed out some old gardens that needed to be weeded. It helped, you know, and I got to see how you build foundational structures within other people. So take a minute, please, and you have to share about that particular program.
Well, I think you've said enough.
I hope you can share because your phone's breaking up.
Okay. Is it any better now?
Much better.
Okay. Is it better now? Okay.
Yes.
All right. You said a lot, Seven, about that passage program. It was for menopausal women, and most of the recipients or the participants were menopausal and the initiates of that program had not celebrated any aspect of their life since high school graduation or college graduation or their marriage. So this was a program for perimenopausal and menopausal women. And there are a lot of changes just in puberty. There are a lot of changes that perimenopausal women and menopausal women experience. And a lot of times she has lived a life of, you know, getting her education, building her career, getting married, taking care of her husband, taking care of her children, you know, working a job and all like that, and has endured all that goes along with that and has not celebrated her life. So this was a time of acknowledgement and celebration for women, for the most part, that were over 45 years old that needed that time. Now, I just want to add, you know, when at what point in your life do you feel the past would be appropriate? I'm just thinking about Mama Sheyun. I'm thinking about women of that age, women, say, between 40 and 60 years old. I think the modern label that they put on a lot of these women or a lot of these situations called the empty nest syndrome, when all of the children are grown, they went to college, they've gotten married, everybody got out of the house except for her and maybe her husband. It's a time of celebrating getting to that point and then moving on and having the permission, having the support, having the direction to move on, because the reason it's become so talked about but become so evident and out front and amazing, because that's where a lot of people get stuck at. People get stuck at it. Okay, the kids are out of the house. Mm-hmm. Now what? They don't know. They have not celebrated getting to that point, and they haven't been given the support, the instruction, the direction, or whatever that they need to go on. They haven't even looked at the options, or they're afraid to explore those options because they don't have the support, they don't have the nurture. So that's one time when you really need to look at a rites of passage program. Another time to look at a rites of passage program is upon your return of imprisonment. Now, that could be physical imprisonment or that could be mental imprisonment. If you've broken whatever chains, if you've freed yourself from whatever situation, it's kind of a rite of passage because you're moving out of imprisonment into freedom. Now, most of us may kind of crazy decisions when we're set free, you know, so that would be a perfect time to look at celebrating it to that point, and where do we go from there?
Right.
Okay. The completion of a study, and that's why graduations are so important. Okay. So you completed the study. We acknowledge that. We accept that. We celebrate that. But where do I go from here? Where do I go now that I have this degree, now that I have this knowledge, now that I have these additional skills? What do I do now? And again, that's where the direction, the instruction, the nurture, the support, and the permission comes in. And lastly, I want to say, making any major change in your life, if you've made a major change in your life, or if you need to make a major change in your life, now would be a good time to look at a rites of passage program, because you're going to need everything that a rites of passage program offers. You're going to need that support. You're going to need the direction. You're going to need sometimes instruction, step by step. You're going to need all of those things that the rites of passage will offer you. So if you want to make them, if you just made a major decision, a lot of times we get stuck there too. Okay, now I'm going to make that major decision. Where do I go from here? I just got divorced from my husband. Okay, I'm here by myself. What do I do? Do I immediately go out and look for a new husband? Yes.
Mom, because I got a call that wants to come, that would love to speak for just a moment. So let me interrupt you for a second. We're going to come right back, give your phone a chance to clear up.
Okay.
All right,
okay,
so hold on for a second. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Peace. Alafia, how are you?
Oh, we are well. Is this the Bush woman?
This is the Bush woman. Peace. Peace, Mama Khadija. How are you?
Greetings.
I think this is a wonderful, wonderful topic, and it actually brings a lot of things to the top that I've been thinking about. I have children in my life. My brother has 5 boys and 2 girls, not including all the godchildren that I have. And I must say that I have been guilty of not doing more when it comes to those rites of passage with them. And I know it's never too late, you know, and I know a lot of it has to deal with my own growth and my spirituality, but where I am right now, that's why I'm like, okay, it's not too late. I have to reach out to these children. I have to reach out to, I mean, because they're not children anymore. They're actually, you know, young men and women. But like Mama Khadija was saying, where do you go now once you reach a certain age or when you have certain, you know, things that happen in your life? That's like you go from being a child, and as soon as you turn 18, you're that grown person in their house. You know, it's like, well, and I always tell parents, your child is not grown at 18 or even 21 because they've been a child longer than they've been an adult. What have we done to guide them into adulthood? Because majority of their life is spent at least 8 hours a day is spent in the school, 5 days a week, you know, at least 10 months out of the year. And that doesn't include the time that they spend with television and with friends. What time do we have that we spend with them outside of disciplining them? Do we celebrate them? You know, and I think we have to, you know, remember that there was a time when we was a child, that we were children. And what would we have wanted to be done for us to celebrate us is what we need to do for them. So I'm looking forward to celebrating the children in my life, the people in my, and even myself. You know, it's easy for us
I was just about to say that.
Yes, and celebrate myself.
Yeah, and yourself.
Because
we don't
I've
do
made
enough
changes.
Of it.
Yeah, we know. We think just going to get a pedicure and a spa day, you know, that's really celebrating. You know, but no, I really no, that's actually what you should be doing anyway. You know,
anyway,
that's what I should be doing anyway. That's just a part of my self care, self love regimen. But really celebrating who I am as a person, you know, my spiritual right, really learning who, you know, Unique is, what makes her unique, you know, her beauty on the inside and the outside, you know, her, and real recognize that, no, it's not always great, but it's better than where it was. And, you know, and where I'm at is where I'm supposed to be, and it's okay, you know, and this journey that I'm going on is an experience that I need to love and to celebrate that, because who knows that celebration I have could be the last celebration I have, you know, and nobody's ever going to love you like you love yourself.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
to. We train people how to treat ourselves. We train people how to treat us. So we're not celebrating us. And we're not treating ourselves well.
They're not
going to
celebrate
us. How is right. How are they going to know when and how and where? How do they know that?
Everybody knows. Everybody that knows me knows that after Christmas, I start telling everybody, my birthday is January 18th. You know what I'm saying? So everybody knows, come January 18th, I start making phone calls on January 16th, like, okay, you know my birthday, saying I might not remember your birthday, but you're going to remember my birthday, you know. And every time, I think from my early 20s, because my mother did a rites of passage box for me, and I still have it, and she had, like, she had little things in there that represented me to her. And the box, and it's such a beautiful thing that on my birthday, every morning when I wake up, I call my mother and I tell her, thank you for giving birth to me. Thank you for being that vessel that brought me in. Thank you for not aborting me. Thank you not for denying me. You know, forgive me for not forgiving you. Forgive me for not understanding, you know, back in the days, I used to think that my mom was just sitting there and she just didn't want to eat when my brother and I was eating, not realizing she just spent her last $3 and she was waiting to see what we had left over. Bring tears to my eyes. She was sitting to see what we had left over and she was going to eat that because she didn't have enough money, but she made sure we ate first. You know, and we don't recognize those things, you know, until we are adults. And I want to celebrate that. You know, I want to celebrate her because I'm a reflection of her. And then my children are a reflection of me, you know. And we, and as long as we're celebrating that, that helps us remember our ancestors. You know,
it does.
That helps us.
When you were talking.
It just helps us remember, you know. And I think that's where we have gone astray is the word. We forgot where we came from. And a lot of us forgot where we came from because a lot of us really don't know, you know. And they think, well, because I can't go back to Africa and pinpoint what tribe I'm from. But what tribe was you born into? You know what I'm saying? You can't pick your friend. You can't pick your family, but you can pick your friends. So let's pick the family that, let's deal with the family that you have, and let's deal with the family that you made. You know, when I have family reunions, you know who come to my family reunions? My family, not just the ones I was born into, but everybody comes to reunion, and we all get together. You know, so I just think this is just a wonderful thing, especially when it comes to women. We have to celebrate each other. You know, we have to. It's okay to love each other. It's okay to, you know, to give each other, you know, to give each other love, because it actually uplifts yourself giving it to somebody else.
That's
so I won't take up too much of your time, but thank you. I just wanted to share.
Love
that.
It. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing so much. As you going back and you're reflecting on that rites of passage box, you know, that sounds almost like a time capsule. You know what I'm saying? You know, how personal, how wonderful is that from a mother to a child? This is what I think of you. This is what I want you to remember. You know, that is just awesome. So, Mom Khadija, are you with us? Did you get to a better place, a better phone place? Yes?
I'm here.
Okay, awesome.
Can you hear me?
Awesome. Gotcha. I gotcha. I remember just speaking with a young lady in my work environment, and we spoke, maybe it might have been 2 or 3 months ago, and she, you know, in tears, explained how badly she needed to understand this change in life as she was approaching 50. As she's either not getting the information or not getting enough information from her mother and her female elders, as she is confused, fighting, mad about the physical changes that are going on, because sometimes they'll talk, you know, we can see the children are growing up. We can see, you know, them leaving the house. We understand that, but what we don't understand is, you know, sometimes those things that are going on in our very bodies, in our homes, we're looking at the mirror and we're like, well, why is it taking so much more makeup to make this work? You know, why is it taking so much more energy to get out the, you know, there's not a lot of people talking about the physical changes that come with each rites of passage. You know, there are, you know, young women that will get their menses, and that is part of rites of passage, a physical part. And but some, you know, we may tell you how to fight the symptoms, but, you know, they don't tell us really what this means, you know, outside of you can get pregnant now. You know, we need a little bit more than that. We need a little bit more than that. You know, and so with each rites of passage, you know, we have to really truly start to be more intentional about them. You know, that's the beauty of a rites of passage program. That means we have sat down and thought about how this change is going to affect you mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, all these different ways that this change that you're going through is going to impact you. And now we're about to tell you ways to go about handling it. And we're going to support you as you're trying to handle it. So we have, you know, this is why those programs are so very important. We have to give, and for people like me, I don't have a problem working with someone. If I'm half a step ahead of you, I'm still going to tell you what to watch out for. I don't have to be that much older. I don't have to work with 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds. Last week I experienced something. If I can help you, I promise you I'm going to help you. Because this is the challenge. This is the challenge. But when it comes to that stamp of approval, it is needed more than we know. This is why people have these midlife crises. This is because there's a confusion. You know, your brain is like, oh, so much has changed, and you know, your spirit might be like, but I feel young. I'm not ready to change. You know, you may be going through physical changes. You know, you wake up with a new body ache every other day. You know, you know your acid level's high, your energy level's low, all kinds of stuff are going on, you know. And until someone sits down and tells you, it's okay, you know, it's all right. This is just something we got to think about. Now that we've gotten to this point, it can be very scary, and almost it'll make you run from it. And of course, you can't run from time. You can't run from time. I can guarantee you. Many a person has looked silly trying to. You cannot run from time, you know. But there's nothing wrong with having some support in handling some of the things that we have to handle. Mama Khadija, okay, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, would you share just some of the highlights of that rites of passage that you held? I mean, every inch of it was, every minute was beautiful, mind-blowing, every, from the first smoke pot to packing up the cars to leave, every minute of it was life-altering for numerous people. So could you just share, you know, maybe what your highlight was, or just something that you'd like to share about that first Rites of Passage program?
Well, I think one of my, the most memorable time for me, first of all, I just want to say this has just been on my
Come
mind
back to
about
the phone.
Pardon?
Come back to the phone. Put your mouth closer to the phone.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay. What I was saying is that one of the most memorable times during that Rites of Passage program was
mm-hmm.
when the young sister there, I don't want to have to go into all the detail, but there was a young sister
mm-hmm.
there that sang a song. She sang a song
mm-hmm.
during the graduation. This was at the very end. And she was a representative of all of the initiatives that were going through this process of rites of passage. And she went around to about 10 elders that were there to sanction your rites of passage. And she asked them for permission to X, Y, and Z. She asked for their blessings for X, Y, and Z. She asked for the support. She asked for the direction. And that was so touching for me. And I just want to say that I feel that the Rites of Passage programs that are lacking in our community are primarily a responsibility that the elders have not talked about. Because
mm-hmm.
as an elder, and if you're 2 days older than the person that you're taking through this rite of passage, you're their elder. Okay. You're
mm-hmm.
older than them. More than likely, you have gone through a situation that has really helped them, that you can share with them. So if you have that knowledge, if you have any insight, if you have the ability to discern, to give direction, to give support, to give feedback, to do follow-up, then you should be mentoring or assisting someone through a rites of passage, whether it's a formal program
mm-hmm.
or whether it's a do a mentoring program or whatever. But one of the highlights of that rites of passage program for me, what I have found in having a rites of passage program through Mother Eagle Ministries is that a lot of times we have some cleaning up to do before we go through a rites of passage. But as I mentioned earlier, there is a process that you have to go through before you even get to the rites of passage. Okay, so
mm-hmm.
let's clean ourselves up, you know, physically, spiritually, mentally. Let's, you know, shed some stuff. Let's get rid of some unnecessary stuff and then go on to acknowledge that we were able to do that, acknowledge our accomplishments, and celebrate those accomplishments so that we can move on. And
mm-hmm.
that's how I opened up the rites of passage that you did
mm-hmm.
so highly of that I absolutely love because it was a life-altering for, I think, for everybody
I think
there,
everybody.
Including
yeah,
the animals
everybody.
That were there that witnessed everything.
Yes, yes. I woke up to a horse 2 inches from my face. I'm like, oh, okay. Hey, Mr. Ed. It was, like I said, it was amazing. It was amazing. You know, spirit, it was a challenge and a stretch for everybody. Initiates, facilitators.
Yes.
You know, we had the snot worked out of us and, it was just so much work, so much awakenings at that event. And I know one of my favorite events is you were doing an earth exercise, and a flock of butterflies decided that they were going to be participating I love signs of nature. When nature is there, they only work on vibrations. They didn't get no emails, no memos, no text messages, no nothing. They are only working on vibrations, okay? And so a flock of butterflies decided to come and to join the exercise, the workshop, the earth ritual. And it was, you know, to see that for me, because I believe in the birds, the bees, and the trees. That's my religion right there. And so to see nature come and co-sign what we were doing, it was amazing. It was amazing. So, I want to encourage everyone. Like I said, Mom Khadija can say it as easy as she wants to. It's not. When you stand up there, you know, getting jet, it's not easy. It's not. But I strongly encourage you to do so. Because I just heard somebody say, I don't know. But I just heard someone say, well, why do I have to move forward? I'm kind of comfortable here. And I'm like, no. We're supposed to evolve. That's why so many of these rites of passages are, you know, they're physical. You know, they're chronological. You know what I'm saying? You hit this point, this happens. You hit that point, that happens. So a lot of them are chronological because by nature, we're supposed to be moving forward. So don't get anywhere and say, oh, this is it. I don't have to go any further. I've already done all the growth and development. I'm like, no. God will call you when you're done. You will know when you're done. Until then, you're supposed to push forward. We're supposed to push forward. And having these moments of intentional training, of intentional application helps so much. It helps so much. So I woke up this morning, I'm reading Proverb 3, which is a very strong, very powerful proverb. And in the end, it ends it with, don't be fearful of God's chastening. You know, don't be fearful of God's correction, because he corrects who he loves, okay? And so that's how my day started. And in this, I'm thinking, don't be afraid of this rites of passage. Don't be afraid of this initiation. Don't be afraid of this molding. Don't be afraid of these things that are set up for your benefit, because even if there are moments of discomfort, even if you realize you've really been barking up the wrong tree, you know, you got to go back the other direction, no matter what, you know, elders usually don't spend the time to correct you if they don't love you. I know God does not bother with you. If you are determined to be on this wrong path, he's going to send you a couple of signs, and after that, he's going to put a helmet on you so you don't knock yourself silly when you reach the end. But, you know, when you're getting that correction, when someone's working with you, when someone's taking the time to build you, it's not always comfortable. But the end result is always worth it. So we're not... You know, so don't be dismayed. Don't be surprised if this thing is uncomfortable. You know, oh, this is tight. I don't even know if I like this. But don't be surprised by that. But know that that is for your benefit, that the end result is going to be positive, and that you will grow from the experience. So, that's what I would like to, if I had to leave with two words, that would be my two words. Do not fear that rites of passage, okay? Don't fear that discomfort. If something is going to teach you something, you'll be able to endure. You'll come away with a lesson. Mama Khadija, I want to say thank you so much for starting our co-host rotation. I'm so happy. This is going to be exciting. If you had to leave the family with two words about, you know, rites of passage, what would that be?
Two words? It would be do it.
It could be 2 minutes of words.
Can it be 2 minutes of words? Okay. Yeah, I you know, when you went into Proverbs, I was thinking about not leaning toward your own understanding, but leaning toward a higher understanding. And even if it's not comfortable, as you said, still accept it, because I will be for your higher good, for your benefit. Like I said, if you have not celebrated your accomplishments and moving into your new life cycle over the past 7 years, time, and I think it was divinely given to me this morning about the rites of passage. It's time to prepare for spring, and I know that Mother Eagle Ministries and a wonderful approach is planning a rites of passage program for the spring. So think about your strengths and think about your challenges. And if you can come up with more strengths than challenges, if it takes you a lot longer, family, to come up with your strengths and does your challenges, is definitely time for a rites of passage program. It's time for you to have a nice sit down and think about, what are my accomplishments? What do I need to celebrate so that I can move on? Don't let those challenges hold you back, because those challenges are part of life. And even as, I don't know, as crazy as it may sound, there's a blessing in every challenge. There's a blessing in every lesson. And there's failures. The only failure is what you didn't attempt to do. Are you attempting to correct it? If you attempted to make it better, if you attempted to still move on in spite of, I heard something yesterday that I just wanted to share. I'm trying to think, make sure I can get it right. Turn your pain. I can't really remember the exact, but it was basically saying, if something has caused pain in your life, a lot of times that becomes your purpose. Correcting that, helping others get through that. So take a look at those challenges. Take a look at that pain. Take a look at what you think you didn't get, and share it into a purpose. Shape that to an intention to make it better. Shape it into your success. So, family, think about that rites of passage for the spring. It's coming, and it's time.
Yes, absolutely. Again, Mama Khadija, thank you so much for co-hosting, for kicking us off. We've only said Proverbs 3 about 15 times, so I'm gonna let that be our prayer out. It's one of my favorite prayers. This is something that I've really, for my firstborn, I drilled into his head, you know, because there's so much wisdom in this. You know, everyone has their, I say everyone, that's not true. A lot of us have our books of the Bible that give us that comfort, that give us that charge, that give us that acknowledgement. And between the Psalms and the Proverbs, I do spend a great deal of time there. So this one, you know, I always really drilled into my oldest, and I like the results that it got me, okay? And every now and again, this will pop up, and it did today. So I started my day here. I'd like to end it here. So, Proverbs 3 goes, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them on the tablet of thy heart. For shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be the heath to thy navel and bone to the marrow. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My sons, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain of fine gold. She is more precious than rubies in all things thou canst desire. They shall not compare unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them, and unto her that lay and hold upon her, in happiness is everyone that retaineth her. I'm going to stop there. Amen, family. Amen, amen. Please take a minute.
Amen.
It has a couple more verses to it, but it's so worth looking into. I just wanted to invite everyone, open up your heart. Keep your heart and your eyes focused on God. Keep your heart open for him to be able to speak directly to you, because there's so much more than work to this world. We're not here just to be animals of burden. We are here to explore, to be abundant, to be free, to be loved, to be loving. All of these positive things are here for us. So we just have to open our eyes and reach out to get them. So I encourage everyone to take those moments. You know, delight, find courage and hope in God, and keep your eyes focused on him. I want to say a special prayer for our friends and families in the way of this storm. Please be safe. Please be safe. You are what's important. Everything else can be replaced. You are what's important. So don't get confused and think that you got to stay in your house. We got plenty of rights in Georgia, okay? So amen, amen, amen.
Ashe.